Today we have a delightful conversation with Odelia Chan. Odelia is a young adult who is the second oldest of 8 homeschooled children. She is an entrepreneur and a writer. In this first installment of our talk, Odelia will share how her mom tailor-made their family's education and curriculum, and then she'll share her own experience grappling with doubt. Welcome to Canada Homeschools, the dose of inspiration and encouragement for Canadian homeschoolers. Canada Homeschools features interviews with homeschool group organizers, resource suppliers, and conversations with everyday homeschoolers just like you, all from a Canadian perspective. I'm your host, Rowan Atkinson. I'd like to thank you for joining me. Now let's get started.
In 400 meters. In 100 meters.
You have reached your destination.
Welcome to the Canada Homeschools podcast, Odelia. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. This should be fun.
It's my pleasure. So, Odelia, tell me the story of your family and how they came to be in Canada.
Okay, so both of my parents, they met in Canada, so they immigrated separately to Canada when they were around 16, 17 years old. Mm-hmm. So they were halfway done with high school, and then they finished high school in Canada, and then they met in their early 20s at this Christian leadership camp where my mom was a group leader, and then my dad was one of the participants. Yeah.
So that's how they met.
I think they married 2 or 3 years after they met. Because when they met, my mother was a Christian, but my dad wasn't. He came from a slightly Buddhist atheist background. And so when they were getting to know each other, he came to know the Lord through her, and then they married in mid-20s, age-wise, and then they had us.
Wow. She's so blessed that that worked out. It doesn't always, right?
So, yes.
So you were homeschooled, and that's one of the reasons why we met, because we met at the OCHEC conference, and you had a table there, which we'll talk about later. Can you describe your homeschool experience for us?
Sure. My mom is a very thoughtful person, but she does have to deal with 8 kids. I'm the second oldest, and in some senses, we were guinea pigs. So
mm-hmm. Her approach too, were guinea pigs as well.
Exactly. It kind of happens that way. You're still testing things out and whatever. So some of the approaches kind of changed over the years, but some of the main themes throughout her approach was that she would pick different curriculum for different subjects instead of sticking with one big curriculum for the entire school year or school subjects. And instead of sticking with a strict schedule of finish these units in how many weeks or whatever, or having a summer break, or having, I don't know, a very structured school day, what we had instead, so back to the courses, what we had was very specific and intentionally chosen material for each subject. So for example, for math, instead of using North American curriculum, my mom had my grandparents purchase actual textbooks from Hong Kong, because their math at the high school level were much more robust and much stronger than what she could find here, even in homeschool curriculum. And so she got us working on that. with math, but then with English, because that was a subject she was less confident teaching, because she grew up in Shanghai, Singapore, Hong Kong, she had us take AP English online. That was my first online course as a high schooler. And so that was AP for English. And then for science, we had a bunch of different Christian Science, Apologia, J-Wild.
Yes, that's the big one there.
Yeah, we used a bunch of different ones for science. And then, so she had this approach where she would try to look for the best in the field instead of the best curriculum overall. Because I think during the first year or so, and she was kind of testing things out with me and my older sister, she realized that there were enough reasons for her to stick with particular information from particular curriculum, but none of them were good enough to kind of stand her standard for all of them, all those subjects. So that was that. When I was younger, she did have a more structured day up until the point where she kept having babies. And my youngest four siblings were born all in June, all 2 years apart. And so it was like, once you got one baby going, there's another one coming. And so we couldn't quite have a very organized structure to our day. But one thing that my mom did make sure to have, which we actually still do now with like adult children and whatever, is that we'll meet once in the morning as a family, and then once in the evening. So like to start and end the day kind of thing. It's not exactly a lesson. Sometimes it's Bible reading. Sometimes it's a hymn saying. Sometimes it's a Chinese lesson, because we speak Cantonese at home. We read in English, but my mom wants us to be able to read and write Chinese, at least basic, which wasn't a very strong part of our school. So she's still kind of teaching us that in the mornings and evenings. And then when I was younger, we would sometimes have lessons throughout the day, like in the afternoon and whatever. But otherwise, her approach was she would teach us to teach ourselves. And then from there, she'll kind of meet us at checkpoints. She would look for our strengths, push us on our weaknesses, and then encourage us to just keep going by ourselves, but then also keep raising the bar when we've met it. And so we would do tests and exams according to our capabilities instead of our grades, which was amazing. I want to do that with my future kids too. It's like, instead of like keeping us in the box of our ages, she approached it with the mindset that if you could do it, why not do it? If you could work, like, I don't know, my youngest brother, he was doing, I don't know, grade 8 math when he was grade 3 or something like that. And then I have a younger sister, she's number 4. She was playing music, and she was like, she has like a God-given talent for it, but, and a lot of practice. And then she basically flew through a lot of the levels, and then now she's in university for violin. And so it's like, my mom saw what was in us and also formed each curriculum or schooling approach to the person. Like, she pushed certain of us more towards music more than the others, because she saw that those students or those children were more geared towards music. They were built with that perfect pitch, that sense of rhythm, whatever. And then for me, my thing was more words and writing and things like that. And so she pushed me towards taking more courses or giving me time to write my own books besides school and things like that. So besides all that kind of shaping a perfect curriculum, perfect, no curriculum is perfect, but in her mind, it's kind of as close to the ideal as she could get. But then she also shaped that around each of us. And so that's like 8 separate curriculums and it's still going.
That's amazing. Thanks for sharing that. Yes, I think when we start out homeschooling, we often just try to fit homeschool, like what we remember from school, and we don't know much about what's out there and what curriculum is available. So we just like find one and at least we have a starting point and we know the bases are covered. And then from there, we draw things in from other sources and adapt the curriculum and adapt our lessons. I know we used a lot of Saxon math, which of course isn't Hong Kong level, but it's a pretty good math program. And and if our kids could ace the first several tests, they didn't have to do the lessons for all those lessons, because that's just a waste of time. They already have mastered the concepts. So
exactly.
I think some people think to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Some people think that verse is a formula for discipleship, but really, when you look at the meaning of it, it's more like train up a child according to their particular bent.
Yes.
And it sounds like your mom like had that figured out, that, you know, you had your own gifts and abilities, and not to just let you only focus on the stuff that came easily to you, but also challenge you, like you said, in the other areas that were weak. It sounds like she has a real spirit of excellence, and but it takes different forms when you have 8 children than it does when you have 2, for sure.
Yeah, it does. And it isn't without its challenges, though, because especially like as one of the children, it's easy to compare ourselves to each other and then compare gifts and compare paths and things like that.
And the Bible says that's not wise.
It's not wise. It's very easy, I think, to fall into, especially when you're just siblings within a house. And it's like, we were raised similarly, but we came out very different. And then you're kind of, there is a bit of comparison. I think like as we mature and learn more about ourselves and each other and have that compassion and grace with ourselves and each other, that kind of smoothens out. But there also are some challenges where it's like with some of my younger siblings now, and so I'm second, and then also the third one, she's 21, 22. Like she's still thinking of what she wants to do. Like we do have a few of us where our interests aren't that clear, or our direction isn't that apparent, I suppose. For me, it's actually becoming less apparent because I have so many interests. It's like writing was my thing for a while, but now
you
it's
do
like
have a lot of interests, and we're going to unpack some of those a little later on.
Exactly.
But most people change like careers 3 times in their life. So there's so much pressure to find the perfect thing, but it may take the journey of your life to find find exactly what your thing is. And we don't need to be pressured. We need to be productive citizens, but we don't need to, like, everything doesn't have to be the perfect thing.
Yes. And I'm very thankful that my parents have this patience towards us as kids. And it's interesting because lately I was thinking they have changed as people since like when I was young to who they are now. They have developed and grown so much as a person. And it's interesting for me to say this as a kid because it's like my parent. But the level of patience and graciousness and long-suffering and also joy and confidence in their homeschooling has deepened so much, because I think at first it was new, it was stressful, it was,
you have so much responsibility is a lot of what that is.
Yes.
But then once you've raised a couple, you realize, hey, it's gonna be fine, I can slack off a little bit and it's gonna be okay. And so my younger two, even though they're not that much younger than my older two, they had a more joyful homeschool experience than my older two, just because of, you know, how I was growing as a person and learning not to sweat the small stuff and not to try to cram too much into a day and all of that.
Yeah.
Routine over schedule, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. So what would you say was your favorite thing about being homeschooled? And then what did you find challenging or struggle with? You can ask me the same question after.
Sure, I think I would, especially like from a parent's perspective. But okay, One thing I loved about being homeschooled, and I think this goes for a lot of people if they have had a similar experience, is that I was given the freedom to explore a lot of things in an environment where I wasn't being judged or pressured from all points at once. Because, and sometimes I would taste this a tiny little bit when we go to like homeschool co-ops and you make something and then it's just different from everyone else's, but you're kind of still listening to the instructions, but it's like your interpretation. And you wouldn't want to do that because of the peer pressure and whatever. But when it's within the home, there was a, like what I said before, there's a bit of that comparison between the siblings, but there was more of that understanding that they would still love you. You would still be accepted at a very fundamental level, even if you were different, or even if you were just a little bit crazy or weird in your own way. And so being given the freedom to explore by my parents and the structure of our homeschooling, to explore like different interests, to explore things. I was into bug collecting for like, I don't know, half a year, like dead bugs, and I'll stick a pin through them and then put them in a framed box or something like that. I still have it. And it's like it's never turned into anything. And no one in my family, I think, actually likes bugs, except for me. But it's like things like that. Like they would let me do something that they would not necessarily encourage, but they do see how much I like it. And as far as it's meaningful or productive or at least not harmful to other people, it's like they let me do that along with that safety net, along with that assurance that they would be there for me, even if my project goes south or something goes wrong or whatever. So that is one big thing that I love.
Canada Homeschools podcast is brought to you by Headphone History, your complete Canadian elementary history curriculum. Headphone History comes with audio lessons, stories, and legends, and a reproducible workbook designed for the whole family. Go to headphonehistory.com. It's important for us to learn our history.
Biggest challenge now.
Yes. And I think there are two. One, during the thing, like during my homeschooling years, and one that I could see in retrospect. Okay, so the first one is something that a lot of people might criticize with homeschooling, lack of socialization. And I wouldn't say that was what I had necessarily. Like it wasn't like I didn't see people or whatever. We did have a lot of community in terms of we would visit different homeschooling families, we would go to church events and be part of a church and whatever. But I think one of the things that I kind of had to learn was like how to make connections with people that I wasn't used to, or like with people that I didn't know. Okay. I didn't know too well how to connect with people who were very different from me because I kind of stayed within that bubble of like homeschooled families, Christian people, church people. So it's like it wasn't until I think like mid high school years, maybe a little bit after that, where I started to actually engage more with everyday people, people who have been public schooled, people who have very different views from me and things like that, which kind of led to the second realization, which is kind of a challenge in hindsight because during my, like after high school, I took a gap year, which we'll talk about later. But during that gap year, I realized that I was brought up within a Christian home and everything was Christian, like within that context. But then when I turned 19, and after a little bit of like exploration of different ideas and whatever, I basically went 180 and then deconstructed Christianity. And then for years, Like, I didn't read the Bible. I didn't pray. I didn't, like, I came so close to not being actually a believer that I sometimes wonder if I actually, like, we could get into this a little deeper if we have time, but basically for a few years after that, what triggered my almost like agnostic phase or deconstruction or whatever, kind of my struggles with faith itself and the idea of Christianity, was because I realized that, what if, I just asked myself this question, what if the framework around which everything I learned was wrong? Like the things itself, like science and math and whatever, that was good. But what if that framework was not the only one that was true? Or what if that wasn't true at all? Or like as true as I think it is, that it could be true, kind of whatever. So in hindsight, a challenge of being raised in a more conservative Christian homeschooling family was that I never got much of a chance or even the idea to begin with of testing all of that out for myself. Like we took apologetics courses. I read about like Answers in Genesis, things like that, a lot of that. But I think there was always this assumption where it's like, this is the truth and I had to accept it, instead of being allowed or encouraged to question it when I do have the questions. And so,
and perhaps, that can be because the parents are a little scared too, if you're questioning.
Yes,
and like they want to. It's not that they don't want to acknowledge that doubts are a real part of faith, I like to say, but sometimes they're just scared. Yes. And they feel responsible, even though they can't save you, they feel responsible for your belief system, and so it's scary to deal with that. Like they feel they're protecting you from that all this time, but as you get older, it has to become your own.
Yeah. Yes, and yeah. I think my parents did do a lot towards helping me learn how to think.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Learn how to. Yes, and I love them for that. I'm very thankful for that. But that was also what gave me the mind to like turn back onto everything they taught me.
That's so, okay. God will use that. God yes, will use that part of your journey.
Yes, and he already does. But sometimes it hurts me just thinking back to like those years when I was like throwing everything kind of back at my parents. Not maliciously, not like in rebellion or whatever, but like begging to know the truth kind of thing. It's like, I'm not saying this is 100% false and you guys have deceived me. I didn't say that. I didn't think of that. But it was more like, what if? It was the doubts. It was the questions. It wasn't the pointing and blaming and whatever. It was more like, this is what I'm thinking about now. And I think because I was past high school by that point, and I was like more of an adult. And so my parents had the graciousness and the patience to like work with me, like as a almost like peer-to-peer, mm-hmm. instead of students, yep. to parent to child or student to teacher, because like that dynamic sometimes, especially when you're doubting, that dynamic really frustrates you. It's like, I'm actually just trying to understand this. I'm not trying to like fit into whatever. And so that was an interesting part of the journey, but I still struggle to think of how they could have managed that better. And I think because I teach English now, and the upcoming year, I'm actually creating my own course, teaching English at a high school level. This is also a question I'm also struggling with, where it's like, because I have my own framework for seeing the world, but I don't necessarily want the student to just accept that and like work within my course and like kind of just do that. Like, I want to give them the space to question, to interact, to doubt, and to bring their own ideas in. But then you also need a cohesion, especially as a family, like a Christian family. At one point during my questions, it was like I was creating tension within the family that it wasn't there before, like about beliefs and whatever between my other siblings and my parents. And that was also, I think, part of the fear that some parents might feel when their kids start to question it's that kid's influence on the rest of the children. It's like, if this one falls, what if all the rest falls, kind of thing. And so
yeah, we're gonna have to leave it there for today's interview, but stay tuned as I talk more with Odelia about the book she has written and some of her business ventures that she has, including a printing publishing company. And so we look forward to talking with Odelia again on another episode of Canada Homeschools.
Thank you so much for listening. You can find helpful links and show notes for this episode at our website, CanadaHomeschools.com. Please share this podcast with your friends and leave a rating and positive review on your podcast provider. This will help others find their dose of inspiration and encouragement. Happy homeschooling, Canada! Hee hee!